Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
We want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. We have a special guest chef that's going to be a part of our conversation this afternoon. We have Jennifer Prescott. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello.
It's so great to have you on the show. I found out about Jennifer maybe about 3 weeks ago. I am very much a green, go green girl as well. Jennifer is a green consultant, so we're going to talk to her a little bit about that. We're really working with everyday sustainable living, so I think that's just really great. And just right off the top, I want to get everybody encouraged. If you want to, while we're having this great conversation, you can also check her online at JennyGreenJeans.com. So right off the top, Jenny, how did you get into Jenny Green Jeans? I love that, by the way. I just think that's a great name.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I have done a lot of consulting and also green market work. So that means I was sort of a home market editor for a while with magazines like Real Simple, and I was their home market editor for a while. And then when I had my daughter, I was freelance, so I was working with a lot of different magazines. And as I was watching the home market, I was most fascinated and interested in personally the green products that were coming along at that time, and they were really starting to gain speed, and I was happy to see that. But what I was also a little discouraged by was that not a lot of people really knew about how much green product is out there and why you would choose a green product over a conventional product, particularly for your home, for your interior. And so I started moving into the consulting field because of that, so I can basically go into someone's home or business or school. I've done a lot of work with schools, and talk about, you know, if you choose these green cleaners as opposed to this, you are keeping your indoor air quality much, much healthier for everybody involved. If you, for instance, sleep on an organic mattress rather than a conventional one, you know, and make people aware of the toxicity in our everyday items that we don't really think about. And and so that was really kind of how it rolled out. And then I decided that I would build a blog, which I just began like a year ago, literally on Earth Day last year, 2014. And I just thought, you know, this might be a great way to just have a subscription following that wants the tips that I just kind of always have, you know, when I run into people on the street, on the corner, or I'm in a classroom, or I'm talking to whoever, I'm happy to give this information. I'm not, you know what I mean? And it's like people just need places to go to find it. And and that's where I came up with the tagline, Everyday Sustainable Living, because it really is just about your everyday stuff you do. How do you make your life healthier? Because if you're making your life healthier, interior and otherwise, you're making the planet healthier. So by removing the toxic toxins and not supporting things that are really ultimately damaging to the environment, you're helping yourself. They go hand in hand.
Yeah, I love your homepage because it says greener choices, big and small, can impact our lives and the health of our planet. And isn't that, you know, where we are every day with whatever we're doing, especially when you can come from a very more mindful and conscious way. I think that's just really awesome. So let's jump back to the school thing. I think that's just so awesome. Do you actually go into classrooms and talk to the kids more than the adults?
I do. I was on the ground level, a co-founder of a cafeteria compost pilot in Manhattan in District 3. We did a pilot with 8 schools, and we removed all organic waste from the waste stream. So we were taking all organics out of the waste stream. We were able to show, so we were asking the students to source separate their waste in the cafeteria, which is a steep learning curve. And we did the pilot in order to show the district, in order to show the city, how much money they'll save by removing organics from the waste stream. Well, by doing the pilot, the recycling capture went up 100% because kids were already source separating. And then all the organic waste was leaving the waste stream. So we were able to reduce the waste organic, the landfill-bound waste by 85%, which is a tremendous number. And when we were able to show the city that that was the rate we got, the city went, okay, because they can extrapolate that into dollars and cents for carting fees and all that goes into removing the waste from New York City. You know, city, it all goes out.
Right,
we don't have
landfills
here. We have to truck it very, very far away into other states.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very expensive. So
you have to take them to other states. It doesn't even stay in New York.
No, it doesn't.
Wow.
We don't even have landfills here for our waste. So it's going as far as Kentucky sometimes. It's going to Ohio.
Oh, wow.
It's going to Pennsylvania. And so Bloomberg, mayor at that time, he was in his final days, you know, his final months, decided that they would, and the Department of Sanitation, of course, decided that they were going to pick up that pilot and they were going to expand it to citywide. And they're still in the process of doing it because it's a big boat to turn around, as they say. But it has expanded to like, you know, I think we're at about 200 schools now, and it'll continue to expand. So all the New York City public schools will source separate their organic waste within the next couple of years. So it was a tremendous thing. And in order to educate the students to get them ready to do this behavior, this new behavior, it was most important to me that they understood why they were doing it, that we weren't just painting a new job for them to do and say, you know, just asking them to do something that was meaningless to them. So I would go into classrooms or I would do assemblies, and I had a PowerPoint presentation, and we just really talked about what the garbage we throw away, where it goes, and what it does to the environment. And, you know, rotting organic waste creates a tremendous amount of methane. It creates a lot of carbon as well, but it creates a lot of methane. And what methane is as a greenhouse gas is, you know, it's way more potent than carbon. So it heats up the environment very, very fast. So it's really important that we capture methane when we can, or we mitigate it as much as we can. And so when we really break it down into a sort of a science lab for them, and they understand that, oh, if I just put my banana peel over here and, you know, I'm actually doing something really huge for the environment. And that's the component that has to be in, you know, the equation.
And what a great message for them, that they know that they're making a difference. You know,
absolutely,
that banana peel makes a difference. I make a difference just by those little choices that I do. Because one thing I wanted to go with that is, I've seen a lot of different documentaries on juicing and all the different kinds of stuff they have, like Joe Cross and things like that. And his last one that he had was going to schools and talking to kids. And then the kids would go home and they would change the eating habits of the family. Because it was like, I can't eat like that anymore, Mom and Dad. I can't do that.
Exactly.
So how can we
like,
change that? So the kids are changing the way that we're really doing everything. So that's one reason why I'm excited to hear that you were really, you know, bringing it to the kids, and the kids will change the adults.
It's the most important audience. I really feel that way. I feel like a lot of, you know, adults over the age of 40 are, for me, sometimes a lost cause, because they're so entrenched in their habits. And I'm not saying that everyone over 40 doesn't understand, but as a group, they're harder to influence because it's really about convenience more than anything at that point in your life. You're busy, you're working, you've got a family, you're doing all these things. It's like, please don't tell me I have to think about this now, because this is what makes my life easy, is to use Ziploc baggies. That makes my life easy. You can't tell me I can't use those. You see?
Right.
So your audience for actually making, you know, some really profound change are young people. Because once young people understand, okay, that Ziploc baggie has a 200-year shelf life in a landfill, and there's no recycling remedy for that bag right now because there's a Ziploc thing on it. So what are we going to do? You know, they're concerned. It's their planet. They're
well, again, then they really should be concerned. Yeah, exactly, exactly. Well, we had, what, at least one to two decades of as we were growing up, like you say, anybody over 40, of, like, fast food and convenient food and the way things got packaged, and you just, like, looked at, well, that's how food comes, right? You didn't necessarily think about all the things prior to that and just making things that much more eco-friendly. So that would make a big, big difference on that. So I wanted to jump gears a little bit, because you, on your current blog, you've got this wonderful message about sunscreens. And last year you had posted about that, and you did an update this year. I really think that's, it's just so time sensitive with what's going on with everybody going out on vacations and stuff like that. Thought it would really be great if you could talk about that a little bit, and then some of the things that you found through the research that they have out there.
Yes. So, sunscreens are, they seem like, everyone wants you to wear them, of course, but certain countries, European countries, Australia, for instance, also, that has a tremendously high skin cancer rate. They're way ahead of the curve on it than we are, way further ahead of the curve. And so it's really kind of important to let people know, because what people are most concerned about with sunscreen are their children. And they're unknowingly putting on some chemicals that, A, are not going to be helping them and could be harming them. They're not even the best sun protection, and they also could be harming them. So you have to watch out for certain chemicals that I list in the blog, and I'm not going to be able to repeat them off the top of my head. They're the big O's, and I'll pull it up. But
octabenzene and octanotate, or something like that. I don't seem
right.
like it either.
And they'll both be in. And there's
if I can't pronounce it, I don't have it with me. That's how I live it, so that's good.
Yeah. So what you're going to look for is sunscreens that are considered organic or completely natural. And I do give a list of 10 that are all rated have a number one rating on the Environmental Working Group's list. They have a list that's hundreds of sunscreens long. So these are not the only ones they list. But I call some that I already knew about that I really liked, and then some that I pulled from them that were number one rating and the price point, because I also went by price point, because I think your average person isn't going to spend $30 for 3 ounces of sunscreen. I think
between cancer, you look at the investment that you're putting on your body.
The thing about natural products that you're seeing a lot, and you know this too from your experience, is the price points are coming down to be fairly comparable. You know what I mean? So the ones that I listed here are ounces, and everything is under $20. And so that's comparable to if you were going to buy one of those, Copper Tone or Neutrogena or one of those drugstore brands that you see all the time. So I went with that as well, because I'm cost conscious. I'm absolutely cost conscious. These all really are highly, highly rated. And my one really big recommendation is to absolutely avoid the aerosol spray-ons, because even if they are an organic one, the particles, even in an organic one, you don't want to be inhaling. Don't want those to be airborne. So they're zinc and titanium, which is on most natural sunscreen, one of the main components that will give you a broad spectrum protection. So you don't want to use them. They're not only that, they're wasteful. You're spraying it half of it into the air. If you're stuck with one and you have nothing else, then spray it into your cupped hand and wipe it off, as opposed to spraying it into the air like that. So it's airborne and you're breathing it. So that's my absolute recommendation on that. And, of course, the FDA has sort of taken over the misrepresentation of SPFs being listed higher than a 50. They are not really allowed to do that anymore and call themselves a broad-spectrum sunscreen. Okay, so if you see something that says it's 100, then you beware, because they put they tamp down on that. and you don't want to use a sunscreen and a bug spray combination. That's a bad idea. The chemicals will.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of a duh. I saw that.
I know, but some people, camping, I can just use one bottle. You know what I mean?
Right.
You can see where people.
Exactly.
The convenience of it is attractive to some people. Don't do it. And, you know, sunscreens used to be carrying a lot of vitamin A, and a lot of them are figuring out not to do that. But vitamin A is not a vitamin that you want on your skin in the sun. So even those people that are using retinol creams regularly really need to protect their skin above that retinol cream, because it doesn't react well in the sun, and what it does is it can promote and speed the development of skin tumors and lesions. It'll do just exactly the opposite of what you're actually using it for. You're actually using it to, you know, help your skin, to, you know, help boost collagen and all the things it's supposed to do. But in the sun, it has the opposite reaction, and a lot of people don't know that. So if you look, if you find a sunscreen that says with vitamin A, do not buy it, because you would not want that in your sunscreen. And, you know, those sunscreens, powders and towelettes are silly and not effective, and please don't get those. You know, those are all fairly straightforward, but I think a lot of people don't know. You just really have to, especially with babies, keep those chemicals off that baby's skin, because, you know, their body mass is so much smaller, so they're going to absorb it in the largest organ of their body, their skin, at a much higher rate than a big person will. So it's far more toxic to those little ones than it is even to you or I. So it's really important they have a natural sunscreen on.
Well, that alone is something that needs to be talked about, because people just don't even realize. They think they're protecting their children when actually you're harming them, you know, twice as much because of all the, you know, on whatever level the toxicities of things like that, the way it's going to affect a baby.
All their skin.
You wouldn't even think about that.
Kind of,
so what would be natural? Could you make your own sunscreen?
No, I never make my own personal care products. I mean, maybe outside, I sometimes, you know, will do a coconut oil, like peppermint salt scrub. I can do things like that are pretty straightforward. Oh, shoot. Sorry.
Okay?
I'm sorry. I thought I lost you, but I didn't.
No, you didn't.
Yeah,
we're here.
I don't make my own sunscreen. I would not even feel confident at all in doing that. So I wouldn't even know how to advise someone to do that, honestly.
Well, you know, I just looked at other you know, naturalists and things out there, and I know, and I mean everything, you know, we always wanted to have a disclaimer about, you know, ask your doctor or skin professional about what they would, you know, what they recommend. But sometimes just, you know, drinking lots of water and, you know, being common sense, making sure you have a lot of vitamin C in your system really kind of helps people to be more of a natural way of having protections and, you know, be in the shade and wear hats and cover yourself up on a level instead of being out there full time. You know how that goes.
You're right. And it's, I think where people are, you know, going to turn to sunscreens are really has a lot to do with their children, who are going to want to be on a beach and be exposed in that way for sort of longer than 2 or 3 hours. And, or if you're on
right,
a boat,
which isn't necessarily safe anyway. Yeah, exactly.
You know,
not being there when it's the hottest and the most intense during the day, being, you know, more in the morning or in the afternoon when it's not
right.
its highest.
There
part.
Are always,
yeah.
You're right. There's always those common sense, you know, remedies that we just have to start using our head and start, you know, thinking about how we can help ourselves in a more straightforward, common sense way. I agree with you.
Yeah. Well, you have a great recipe, though. You do have one recipe that you recommend all the time with your newsletters and stuff that you have with the veggie and fruit wash that you really recommend for people. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. I mean, making a vegetable fruit wash is so simple. And on that particular one, I introduced it because on that particular blog, I talked about the trouble with bleach and in your household. I have a lot of people that are sort of addicted to the idea that their house is not clean without bleach. And I just wanted to give people the 411 on that. And one of the really great alternatives to bleach in your cleaning stuff, if you're, you know, you're really worried about things are not going to, you know, bacteria is not going to be killed, is hydrogen peroxide, which is is completely safe and just not toxic. I mean, obviously it's not, if you have a cut and you put hydrogen peroxide on it, it's obviously not toxic because it's what's killing the bacteria that could cause an infection. So in that particular wash, you can add like a tablespoon of hydrogen peroxide for people that are particularly concerned about bacteria and fungal, because it will take care of it. But primarily what it is, it's a apple cider vinegar, you know, and water wash, and it's, and with some lemon, and it's just kind of those key ingredients that you're using in your natural cleaners that you're making at home all the time anyway. That stuff is imbibable. You can drink it. You know what I mean? So even if you don't
probably should. It'd be good for you.
Exactly. Like, I know a lot of people that do.
Clean your insides as well as your outsides, yeah.
Yeah, they start the day with lemon water and a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar. And that
vinegar.
They use that as their morning tonic, you know, and I know a lot of people that do that it's great for. And so this is exactly the same thing, but like I said in the particular post is, you know, bacteria doesn't like acid. So any acidic juice like a lemon and cider and you know, distilled vinegar and all those things are going to, bacteria can't live in it. It can't live in that. I have just a vinegar, distilled vinegar water spray that I spray in my bathroom that doesn't have great ventilation, and never do I have mold. Never do I have mold. It kills it. It can't live there. So the idea of just washing your fruits and vegetables with the same, you know, recipe is a kind of a no-brainer. And for people that are really, you know, really concerned about it, that's what they should do. And there's no reason to buy one of those things at the grocery store, one of those bottles of fruits and veggie wash. There's no reason to. You can make it for 2 cents on your own and then use half of those ingredients on other cleansers in your house anyway, you know? So I always try to, every post I generally give a green cleaner of the month. I usually post something of, you know, some kind of green cleaner that you can make at home that's super easy and super inexpensive.
And that's so great. I really appreciate that, because I think it's, you know, knowledge is power, making sure that we've got, knowing that we have options and being able to switch things over. So just really want to encourage everybody to go just to, it's jennifergreenjeans.com. And if you go
Jenny,
there's actually a place. Jennygreenjeans.com. And if you go to there, there's a place that you can actually do the monthly newsletter sign up. And real easy, doesn't take very long. I actually did it when I first found out about Jenny and made sure that got taken care of. So what's coming up for you? What are we going to talk about in July? What's the next topic?
Well, I've got a busy rest of the summer as I'm getting ready for some projects for the fall. I will be coordinating. I'll be the director of school coordination for an organization in New York called New York Sunworks, and what they do is they build hydroponic greenhouse labs, science labs for schools. And then the schools end up using the lab as their science classroom, and they grow hydroponic plants, and they grow tilapia for, you know, food, fish food, and for the plants. And they study, have an environmental science curriculum built into the lab. And it's a fantastic organization, and I've done some work with them in the past, but I'm going to come on as sort of a school coordinator and help be able to float around to all the labs that are in the boroughs that are already set up and be a support to the teachers and the students in that lab. And I'm also joined in an organization, and I'm, as of now, the New York City sponsor for an organization called Mothers Out Front, and they are originally out of Boston, Massachusetts, and their goal is to make a really big dent in climate change by encouraging, at a grassroots level, everyone switching their energy source to renewables. And they are very, very productive and effective group of voices. Founded by mothers who are concerned about the environment for their children in the future. And they've been able to shape legislation in Massachusetts, convincing towns like Cambridge to go completely renewable to make sure that all their their energy sources are sourced from completely renewable sources. And it's powerful. And I'm really happy to be spearheading New York City area's charter of that. So that will be busy for me too. But I'm really excited. I'm super excited about both projects.
Yeah, I would be too. And I love how they call it Mothers in Charge, because Mother Nature is in charge. So that's good.
That's right. That's right.
We're joining the mother of them all. So that's very, very good. I think that's very, very awesome. So that's really great. So I want to encourage everybody too to make sure to go to Jenny Green Jeans and look at the different just different topics and stuff that you do was so great. So one of the other ones that we had was the trouble with beaches, and I was like, what? Why is there trouble with beaches? You want to touch on that for a second too?
Oh, you mean I said bleach?
Bleaches.
Bleach.
Yeah, I read beaches. I read beaches instead of bleaches. I'm like, okay, there's something going on.
Yeah,
on
the idea.
In California, in California, there's always just a certain level of trash and things like that, and sometimes just red dumps and stuff that they have out there.
Yeah, marine debris is a big problem, but that has a lot to do with how we control waste we generate. So that's really
right.
An important topic. It's super, I mean, I've done lots of stories on my blog about, our plastics problem, how much of our plastics end up in our oceans, and just the idea of waste and consumption is one of my biggest things. And that's also something that I feel like is one of my areas that I'm most knowledgeable in, because of all my work with the compost pilot and recycling, I've even been quoted as saying it's because I'm from Oregon, because when I was a little girl, that's when the first ever national bottle law went into effect, and that happened in Oregon, in the state of Oregon, and it was, you didn't throw bottles away, you never did that, you recycled them, mostly because you would get money for them. But the idea was, it was a bottle law, and we were one of the first. And so I kind of grew up recycling before a lot of people that caught on, nationwide in any organized way. It was sort of my foundation. So that's one of my big things. Yeah.
Well, what a blessing, because that is a good, look at your passion and just your desire to have everybody coming from just a simple, sustainable living on just having it be just something common knowledge in the way we do it. I'm so glad that you're being such a voice for kids. Are you going to be doing some YouTubes and stuff like that so we can get it out to a lot of other schools and stuff, so you can have those things available for teachers to be able to utilize that for their programs?
That's a really good idea. I mean, for the New York SunWorks Greenhouse Science Lab, that would be their proprietary information, and I'm not sure how that will work with them, but I would love to suggest that, because I think
that would be just something great and just get it on a nation level and then an earth level without all this information, for that, for just all the kids on just different levels of having these science projects of instead of just making science projects or the different things they do, have of inventing something that actually helps the process along. So we're actually moving in the right direction and having these kids spearhead these
things.
My
gosh. That and was, you know what? You could do a show on that, because some of the most inspiring environmental inventions that have happened in the last 15 years have come from young minds. I mean, really young minds. And they're leading the scientists on a lot of levels. So that's so exciting to me.
Because the cell phone, and they know exactly how to program it. If they can do that, they can do anything, right?
Exactly.
We've got that all figured out. It's like no big deal. It's just knowing what to do with that kind of stuff. So we've got about 30 seconds left. So Jennifer, how can people get a hold of you if they want to have you come in as a green consultant and just being able to be able to touch base with you so you can go and inspire more people?
Oh, all my information is on JennyGreenJeans.com. There's a contact tab on the top menu bar, and it's got all my information. You can reach me. You can talk to me directly on that site. You can reach me at Jennifer@JennyGreenJeans.com by email if you want. And I believe my phone number's on there too. So if I'm out of state and I'm far away from you, we could also do I'd be happy to do a phone consult with someone if they had specific questions, and I would be really open to that as well.
Well, I look forward to having you back on the show, and once things kind of start up in the fall, and talk about what's going on with this different stuff. So, I mean, if we can definitely be spearheading some things that are going to be going into some of the state legislatures and making people aware on a national level with that, I'm all for that as well. So we can see what we can do on and having some shows out there to help promote that.
Great. Thanks, Robin. Thank you so much.
You have a great day, and we want to thank everybody for joining us here at the cafe. We'll see you next time.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.